and His goodness. And what a wonderful God we serve. Well, it's good to see each of you this morning. Thank you for being here in church. And if you're visiting or joining us rather online, thank you for doing that. If you're listening on the radio, we're thanking you for joining Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and making us a part of your Sunday morning. And we're so thankful that we all get to gather together in whichever form we did. But thank you for being here today. We're going to look into the scriptures this morning. I think that there is something that bothers everybody in this room. And that is that we don't stop when we should and spend time with the Lord. Things are happening so fast, and you know, you'd think that we've gone through COVID and Corona, we are still in that, but you would think because so many things were shut down that would drive us to be more contemplative, and it would drive us to spend more time alone and more time in meditation and thoughtfulness with the Lord. But I find that it seems like everybody's just seemingly as busy as they always have been, maybe with something else instead of what they were. But I believe the Lord would have me preach what I'm going to preach this morning about, entitled, Are You Listening? And I trust that the Lord would do something special in your heart this morning. If you find your place in John chapter 20, John chapter 20, we're going to look at verses 11 down to 16. While you're finding your place in John 20, I did hear this story about an older Sunday school teacher, and she was teaching her children, boys and girls, and she saw one of these boys who was just making ugly faces, and she had told that boy, said, Willie, when I was young, when I was your age, they told me that if I made ugly faces like that, my face would freeze. And there was another little boy that perked his interest, a little boy named Bobby. He was over there, and he was listening as she said that. Well, when I was your age, they told me if I made funny face like that, then my face would freeze. And so Bobby perked up, and he said, well, said Miss Betsy, you can't say you weren't warned, so... Boy, oh boy. But that wasn't somebody here at Buffalo Ridge, of course. So, verse number 11 of John, we're going to look at something you might say, well, it looks like it'd be an Easter message. And it could be, but it's not. It's just about Mary. The Bible teaches or talks when she comes to... And comes to try to find the Lord, and then the Lord finds her. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when, verse 14, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there when the Lord said to her, Mary? And apparently at this particular point, she finally understood that it wasn't the gardener, it wasn't somebody working, but instead it was the Lord. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. As I mentioned already, I want to preach for just a little while about that question, are you listening? And I've been arrested by this passage many times, and I want to share it with you today. And as we look at this fast-paced world that we live in, as I said, some would say, well, COVID has slowed things down, and depending on what industry you're in, maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But we've certainly found other things to take place of what we got slowed down in. And I want to encourage you this morning to evaluate, before we get started, evaluate how much time you're spending with the Lord. We'll get right into it. In verse number 14, we see that in her distress, in Mary's distress, she didn't realize the presence of the Lord. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Mary was so upset at the tomb that she saw the angels, but no body of Jesus. And she was so upset. And I see today that we get so involved in everything that's coming our way. Good things, bad things, I guess, but good things. And there's so much on our phones and iPads and MacBooks and TV and everything else. Our world is seemingly spinning faster and faster. And my dad told Julie, my sister one time, said, "Well, I want you to get me one of those pad things." And she said, "What?" And he said, "You know, one of those pad things." And she said, "You mean an iPad?" He said, "Yeah." Because Dad loves cattle and cattle dogs. And so he thought, "Well, if I get on one of those, I've heard people talk about that web, you know, that thing. And I'd be able to find people that have dogs for sale or cows or whatever." And it didn't work out like he thought it would. But he eventually put it to the side. But he said, "Give me one of those pad things." We've got pad things, and we've got MacBooks, and we've got phones, and we've got all of these things. We've got plenty of stuff, social media and all, to take our time. And if you and I aren't careful, I'm certainly not preaching against any of those. Our church has Facebook page and Instagram, Twitter, and all the rest. I'm not preaching against that. But what I am preaching against, if I am, is us taking so much time for all of that stuff that we don't realize that there are real people in front of us, and then that there's a God that we need to look to and we need to fellowship with and commune with. Because if you and I aren't careful, we'll stay busy from the time we get up till the time we drop in bed, and we won't have communed with the Lord. And Mary's distress here in verse number 14, she didn't realize whose presence she was in. When she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Here was the Lord, the one that she wanted to serve, the one that she wanted to prepare, do more for the body of Him. She wanted to do for Him, but she didn't even recognize. Now, perhaps the Lord veiled that from her. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But for some reason or another, she was right in the presence of the Lord and she didn't realize it. And I believe that God is trying to do things in all of our lives, and we don't realize it either. A young executive was driving his brand new Jaguar, and Josh was driving down this street. He was so excited about this car, 12-cylinder Jaguar, what he'd worked for, wanted, driving down this street. And all of a sudden, he heard a thud. Something had hit the back quarter panel, and so he stopped abruptly. Nobody was behind him, stopped abruptly, and put it in reverse just for a little bit to back up to where he heard it, and then put up in park and went out and saw the dent in the side, and then saw a part of a brick or a rock or something laying down there on the pavement. And he was fuming mad, and not as mad as he was when he looked over to where it came from, and there was this young boy standing there. And he ascertained that he's the one that threw the rock at his brand new car, and he just began to berate him and tell him how much this was going to cost to get it fixed, and how dare he, and what were you thinking? You know, what you'd all of us would say. And the little boy was crying over there beside the street, and he said, "I tried and tried to get people to stop." He said, but nobody would, and Josh is hardly listening to anything the boy is saying. But finally he gets it across to him, and he says, "My brother fell out of his wheelchair when we hit a little bump in the sidewalk, and I can't get him up." And he said, "All I could think of I've just been trying and trying to get somebody to stop." And immediately the countenance of this young executive that had it all, so to speak, it changed, and he completely went sullen, and he helped the young man get his brother up in the wheelchair. And he said, by his own words, as he watched him push his brother down that sidewalk, he said, "I was never the same." He said, all of a sudden, things that seemed to matter most didn't matter much. And he said, "As long as I had that car, I never fixed the dent." He said, "It reminded me every time I looked at it that some things are worth slowing down for." And you know what Mary found as she's looking here, trying to find the Lord? That He was there all along. And I'm believing that most of us as Christians, we all want to please the Lord. Why else would you be here on Sunday? You could be doing most any other thing, but you're here. But I find that we have this desire to do something for Him, but in Mary's distress, she didn't even realize His presence. I want you to see not only that, but I look in verse number 15 as well. That not only was she looking for Him and couldn't find Him, but then she was also looking for something that she could do. Look at the end of verse 15. After she supposes he's the gardener and tells her, "Sir, if thou borne him somewhere, if you've taken his body somewhere, tell me where you've taken it and where you've laid him." And look at the last phrase of verse 15, "and I will take him away." Basically what she was saying is, "I'll do it. I'll take care of it." A noble thought, possibly. "I'll take care of it." And I believe not only did she not see the Lord right there, but she also was looking forward to something that she could do. Something that she could manufacture. That she could come through with. All of us like to multitask. That's the popular thing. Oh, we want to do this and this and this and this. I was multitasking so much one day while I was taking a walk that I was multitasking myself right off the walking path and into a ditch and was going to get out in traffic. It's not always a good thing to multitask. I'm texting while I'm walking, and I'm walking and texting and talking to texting people and watching more of the screen than I am where my walking path is, and my walking path went this way and John went that way. How would you feel if you were having surgery and your surgeon wanted to get a lot of his emails caught up on, and, you know, as they're putting you under, he's like, "Well, put that up on the screen so I can respond to some of these emails while getting into business." No. While you're getting into business, if I'm the business, you get into me and that's all you're doing at this point. You know, they say there's the difference between major and minor surgery is minor surgery's on you and major surgery's on me. And it's all major if it's happening to you. And so you don't want a surgeon that's multitasking at that point. I want him or her fully focused on what they are doing. And sometimes we get to a place where we're looking for something that we could do. I've realized that Mary, she wanted to come and wanted to do something for the Lord. But their desire was so strong to do something for the Lord, she didn't even know the Lord was right in front of her. Sometimes we get so intent on, "Well, I want to go to church, I want to really do this, I want to do that," and it's more I than it is Him. You know, that's a lot of reason why some people struggle with salvation. Because they're looking at, "What can I do to go to heaven?" And it's not about me, or it's not about you, it's all about Him. And until we get to that place in salvation where we realize that I'm the one that deserves to go to hell, and He's the Savior, until I put my trust in Him, it's me trying to work for something that I'll never attain. It's the difference between trying to do something and seeing that something's already done. Let me illustrate it this way. I've watched many folks get bad news, sometimes the passing of a loved one, or some other horrendous news. Do you know what always gets busy, or what oftentimes gets busy when they get that news? These. I've seen so many people, when they get bad news, immediately they start doing something. They start fidgeting with this. Maybe if you're somebody who likes to cook, you start into that. And I've seen family members, they grab somebody, say, "You don't have to do that right now." And almost they say, "Yes, I do." Because they got to keep these busy. Because somehow by keeping these busy, that keeps my mind from going crazy with what I've just been told about. And so you take that same principle, or you take that same philosophy there, and realize that you keep busy because you don't want to really do with the bad news that has been just delivered to you. And the same thing happens in another way, but the same thing that happens when we are trying to find the Lord or trying to do something for the Lord, we get to a place where we want to do something. But remind you, my friend, is what I want to do, that we don't work to get to heaven. We don't work to get our salvation. Oh, we ought to work because we got it. I work because I love the Lord. I'm not working to try to get to heaven. I can't preach a good enough sermon. I can't pastor a good enough church. I can't be a good enough dad. I can't be a good enough anything. I can't do anything. If I do something now, it's because of what Christ has already done in me. And so it's not that I'm trying to work my way to heaven. I do try to work because I'm on my way to heaven. But both in our salvation, but then also in seeking the Lord, if we're not careful, we'll try and try and try to do something. You think it's not true? You look at all the devotional books when you go online for the walk that people want to have with the Lord. If half the people that bought devotional books would use them and get in a time with the Lord, we'd have a totally different church. We all want to do something. And so I see here that Mary, not only was she with Christ but didn't realize it, but she also wanted to do something. And then I want you to look on down in verse number 16, if you would. Not only do we realize that she was in his presence but didn't realize it, and we also see that she wanted to do something, but we also see that in verse 16 that he, the Lord, slowed her down enough to listen to his voice. Look there, Jesus saith unto her, if you've got a red letter Bible, whether you do or don't, mine is, and it's got the words of Christ in red, and it just stands out from the page, but it doesn't matter whether you do or not. Can you imagine how that stood out on that day when the Lord took that veil off, or the Lord slowed her down long enough, and he said that word, those words that all of us love to hear. You think we don't? I challenge you that you do. She heard that word that everybody loves to hear, and that word is your name. He didn't say sis, he didn't say miss, he didn't say anything else. Mary. And so the Lord slowed her down to the point where she heard the voice of the Lord. We see Mary rushing around thinking about what she can do for the Lord, and she doesn't realize he's right there. Pastor of the largest independent Baptist church in a certain region came to preach at the church when we were serving in Murfreesboro. He was one that was looked to, that had a college, had a Bible college, had a Christian school, had many, many ministries, multifaceted Christian ministries. Came, spoke, I obviously interacted with him, may have picked him up and done some things with him as he flew in. It wasn't long after the last time he was there that it was found out that he took his own life, and after he took his own life, then it came out that there was immorality and things that had been going on for some time before he ended it like that. Now, I don't know all about what happened, and I'm certainly not one that loves to delve into gossip, but I do know this. The Lord wanted to listen to that man. But he may very well be like another pastor that was asked by a fellow pastor. When this pastor went to a church, it was fairly large, and this fellow pastor said, tell me what you do for your personal time with the Lord. And he was wanting to learn. He was ready to write. And this pastor of a rather large church said, you know, I know what you're talking about. But he said, the demands are so stiff at the church I'm at. My time is so pulled in multiplicity of ways. He said, I study so much for sermons. I'm in the Word in that regard a lot. But he says, I haven't been doing much of what you're asking me about. Is it any wonder why that pastor didn't stay in the ministry much longer? He quit as well, and that's not the same one as the other one. But the other one, I'm sure, had that same struggle. My friend, I'm just telling you this morning that we ought to listen to the voice of the Lord. Your Christian life doesn't need more academia. If you're taking classes and you're learning more about the Scripture, I'm certainly not discouraging you. That's great. Do that. But your lack of a walk with the Lord is not because you don't know enough. It may very well be because we're not spending enough time with Him. And we understand that the Lord slowed this lady down enough so that she would listen to His voice. And I believe with all of my heart that over the next 7 days, the Lord wants to slow you down and you down and you down and me down enough so that we can hear His voice as well. In Revelation chapter 3, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I believe that can be applied to an unbeliever that needs to be saved. I believe that can be applied to a believer that needs to spend time with the Lord. The Lord is ready. His hand is not shortened. He is ready to hear when those of us who are His children come to Him. My friend, the problem is not that we've got too much going on, because it's going to go on. The problem is we don't pull back from those things and just spend time with the Lord. As we think about this, let me illustrate one last time. As I ask this question, how is your communion with Him? Are you trying to keep busy for Him? And you're trying to keep busy for Him, but you're missing being with Him? And I give you this as the last illustration. a young man who grown up in church but and had gone far in his career. He was an executive by this point, but he lost his job, cut backs, different things, and he had lost his job. He really was at a difficult place in his life because he was trying to question, why are all these things happening? And he didn't at that point have the resources to just pick up and go do something else. And so he was really struggling, knew the Lord and was praying, but seems like happens to us, his prayers were hitting a brass ceiling. He had the idea to go to his old pastor that was his pastor while growing up, by this time up in years. And so as he went and met with that pastor, the pastor sat in his little study by the fireplace, and this young executive sat on the other side of the room, and he poured his heart out to this young pastor, and he said, "I just don't understand. Can you help me?" And the old pastor across the room said something, but the young man couldn't hear. So he picked up his little chair and he moved about halfway across the room and sat back down and said, "I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Could you say that again?" And the old pastor again said something, but the young man couldn't hear once again. So this time he left his chair and he went right over to him and leaned on the arm of his chair. And he said, "I'm sorry, but I still didn't hear." And the old preacher spoke once more and said, "Sometimes God whispers so that you'll move closer to Him." And my friend, you and I may be waiting for a large, bombastic message from the Lord. But oftentimes He is going to do like He did with this lady. Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." And can you picture the time there? Here she is, all consumed in what she's going to do. "I'm going to further prepare the body. I'm going to further do this. I'm going to make sure this is taken care of. I'm here for work." And she's so consumed with what she's going to do, she misses the fact that the Lord that she loves is standing there with her. Until He quiets her down enough so that she would listen to His voice. So this morning, when I challenge you, when the heavens feel like brass and you don't feel like it's working, stay a little longer. When your life gets so busy that you feel like, "I don't have time to pull back a way to have a meaningful walk with the Lord." My friend, if I could say it kindly, you don't have time not to. One old preacher said it like this, where somebody was recounting all of the things that he had to do. And he was saying, "You don't have time to get it all done." And that old preacher said to him, he says, "There's so much to do, I don't have time not to pray and seek the Lord." What he was meaning was, this is overwhelming. This is more than I can humanly get done. So I can't afford not to spend time with the Lord. Because if I don't spend time with the Lord, then I'm just trying to do it all on my own. And he said, "I know that'll be a disaster." I asked you this at the beginning, or told you my title would be, "Are you listening?" In Mary's distress, she didn't realize the presence of the Lord. She was so overwhelmed. And then to beat that, she was so prepared to do something herself that she still didn't realize the presence of the Lord until the Lord slowed her down and spoke her name. And then worship Him is what she did. So this morning I ask you, are you listening? If I ask you this question, which I would not and expect an answer, over the last 7 days, have you had a meaningful time where you just sat and listened to the Lord? Have you had a meaningful time where you just looked into His Word, you let His Word get into you, and you weren't rushing off to do something else? My friend, too many days, that's a convicting thought to me, because I, like you, have a lot to do. But I realize that we can't do anything about the last 7, so don't sit here wishing and regret that you didn't do it the way you did. Let's look forward to the next 7. And I'm challenging you on the 7 that you can do something about, that you make some holy vows before you leave this room today, that, "Lord, I am going to hear Your voice. I am going to stay and not look at what I can do, but instead listen to your voice and see what you want to do in me. And if you're here today and you're that person that knows about the Lord, but you are trying. I talk to so many folks throughout a week's time, and I try to ask folks about their salvation, their soul. And many times I get the answer back, well, I'm working at it. I hope so. I hope I'm going to heaven. I'm trying. Maybe you're that person that's trying. But can I tell you this? If you're trying and you're doing anything except putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, then you are trying to do something that's you generated. And you or me, we can't get ourselves to heaven. Jesus is the Savior. And if you are somebody who does not know the Lord as your Savior, you need to stop trying to get saved and start trusting the Lord as your Savior. And then if you're saved in here today, I want you to do a little recollecting over the last month, over this first year, since the first year. Have we been having those meaningful times with the Lord? Or are we like Mary, this Mary that we read about this morning, so busy trying to do something for Him that we weren't even listening for His voice? And I pray if that's true, you would stop today and say, Lord, I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to start listening. I'm going to listen for your voice. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray if there's a dozen Christians in here that have been rushing through their days without spending time with you, that today that would change. Lord, I pray if there's one or three or several that are in this room that are not saved, they've been trying, they've been working, they've been doing religious things, they've been doing good, but they've been shown today by your sweet Spirit that they need to trust Christ alone and not their works. I pray they'd be saved. And Lord, for everybody in this room that is in the rat race too much, in the hustle, the bustle too much, Lord, would you slow us down this morning and make us realize that we need to hear your voice. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As they begin to play through, would you stand together if you're able to? And if God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. How about it, Christian? Are you like Mary, rushing around, wanting to do this, wanting to do that? The idea of what can I do? Instead of just listening for His voice. This altar's open for you. If you want to come and do business with the Lord, then I ask you and invite you to. How about this, friends? If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, you're a good person in the world's eyes. You're a religious person. You're trying to do right. And for that, I commend you. But you've been shown today that you trying does not equal salvation. Salvation only comes through one person, that's Jesus Christ. You, me, or a thousand others of us just like us can't get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ. And if you're not sure of your salvation, or you know that you're not, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel, standing right here in front of the pulpit, would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Just come on. We'd love to spend as much time as you need. Maybe you're listening on the radio and you know that there's been some heavy pressure on your heart because you feel the conviction and not knowing that, what if I did die today? My friend, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to be saved today. I challenge you to come to faith in Jesus Christ. If you need somebody to help you, our phone number is 477-3311, 423 area code, 477-3311. We'd love to take over the phone or in person. Take the Bible and show you how to be sure heaven's your home. And then, Christians, listening here or somewhere else, you've got to realize, you've got to admit that we're rushing around trying to get it all done, and we're missing the people in our lives that are really important, and we're missing our Savior, what He's trying to do in our lives. And one of these days, we're going to get to the end, and we're going to have so much regret. Let's start listening to His voice. Are you listening? Father, thank You for this time to be in Your house. Thank You for these good folks that we got to spend a Sunday morning with. Lord, I pray that You'd help each and every one of us as we go throughout this week, pull out from everything else that's going on and spend time with Thee, I pray. Help it to be true, dear Lord. Make it so in each of our lives. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May look this way. Thank you for being in church this morning. And may God bless you as you go. I challenge you to, if you're able to, schedule-wise, to be back at 6:30 tonight. We've got more space up here on these front pews. We can come all the way around to the side on either side. There's some here in the front. And the Lord's Supper will be observed tonight. It'll be a great time as our church family gets together. And then also, don't forget Wednesday night. I ask you to ask somebody to come Wednesday night that doesn't typically come. Maybe you need to go by and pick somebody up. Maybe you need to make some other arrangements. But you will not regret yourself or somebody else hearing Brother Dean Miller. You're just going to fall in love with him immediately. And I challenge you to be here for that. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time. And then also one last thing is, Brother Daniel already mentioned, if you're handy, like that one fellow said, well, my wife can't find me handsome, so she can at least find me handy. So if you're handy and you can do some work, then see Brother Daniel, and we'd love to get you connected to some things that we're trying to do around here physically on the church buildings, make them better for the service of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for being in church this morning. Make sure you talk to several folks who you haven't yet talked to today, and tell them it's good to see them in church. You're dismissed.
See by the dawn's early light what so proud